This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey of looking at, unfortunately, hypocritical practices. And maybe for some of us it may sound strange to be discussing elements of nifaq or hypocrisy, but maybe this might be the ideal opportunity in this blessed month of Ramadan to cleanse ourselves and to cleanse our hearts. And as we mentioned many times, as the Quran begins by speaking about sifatul munafiqeen, the characteristics of the hypocritical individuals, lest we don't fall into following those individuals. So thus this becomes an ideal opportunity in solitude to reflect upon our lives, to reflect upon the actions that we carry out and the intent of our actions. And thus now we can begin to understand how some of the works of the pious predecessors, it mentions how many of them spent 30, 40 years, 50 years not thinking of any action except for reflecting and pondering over it, what was the intent of carrying out this action. So amongst, unfortunately, to use such harsh words, hypocritical actions that we find is mentioned in this blessed hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we stopped upon not practicing what we preach. And we mentioned that the example given towards the end of Surah Al-A'raf of this individual, or how an individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this individual as being like a dog, which is derogatory to describe a human being in such a manner. But this individual, because of prestige and honor that was given to this individual, did not fulfill that. As we mentioned, Ibn Kathir mentions who this individual was, whether he was from the people of Musa. But putting that all aside, the main theme or the main understanding from these ayat is that this person was not practicing what they were preaching. They did not live true to the message or the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon this individual. And knowledge cannot be quantified. Knowledge can be small amount or large amounts. All of us can fall prey to that. That the small knowledge that we have, we don't implement that, so it becomes an evidence against us. And then it concluded by mentioning فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Narrate to them the stories that they may begin to ponder and to reflect. And this is possibly something that we as Muslims, especially living inside the West, we don't understand the Qur'an. We don't live the Qur'an. We can't seem to delve into deeper understanding of the Qur'an. It's just a glossary reading, a tertiary reading of the Qur'an. We're not able to delve deep and to extract the fawaid of the Qur'an. As the Qur'an mentions, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Whoever's given wisdom has been given immense goodness. Wisdom is extraction from the Qur'an. Understanding the Qur'an, able to be applied the Qur'an in the life and the world that we live in. Many of us, we can read, many of us, we can study. And there's been many who've done that. But to be able to extract the benefits of the Qur'an and impact the Qur'an, not many are able to achieve that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us amongst those individuals who are able to extract benefits from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we mentioned that some of us, we seek knowledge, this glorious knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that knowledge is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُعْطَى لِعَاصِي. That he attributed to Imam Shafi'i when he mentioned lines of poetry about Imam Waqi, or Imam Waqi narrated this. Mentioned that the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not given to a person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And disobedience is many forms. Amongst disobedience that we find is that a person seeks knowledge to show off, to argue. Which it sounds maybe strange for some of us, but it's a fact that an environment that we live in, that people seek knowledge for other intent. They may have begun with a good intent, but that intent begins to go away, fade away, and it becomes something else inside society as we begin to visualize. Knowledge is something which is beneficial to oneself and beneficial to other individuals. Knowledge whereby a person isn't wasting their time, isn't studying or looking at things that have no impact upon their life, or it doesn't concern them at that moment in time, or delve deep into topics that doesn't really affect the society around them, or doesn't concern the people around them. Thus we find that الراسخون في العلم, people are deeply grounded inside their knowledge and their understanding. They know what knowledge to extract, what to benefit their lives and how to benefit other individuals. Thus we find this hadith of today, لا تعلموا العلم لتباهوا به العلماء. Don't study knowledge that you may begin to compete with the ulama, with the scholars. ولا لتماروا به السفهاء. And likewise, don't study knowledge to argue with the ignorant and the foolish individuals. Or even here, meaning those who don't know, who don't seem to understand. وَلَا تَخَيَّرُوا بِهِ الْمَجَالِسِ. And don't seek knowledge that people may give you prestige and honor when you enter into a into a gathering, that there's mastery, that people recognize your person, sahibul ilm, or person who should be given due reverence, should be given to you. فَمَنْ فَعْلَ ذَلِكَ فَالنَّارُ النَّارُ. So whoever wants to achieve that inside their life, then the fire for such an individual. Once again, such harsh words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in a hadith and sunan of Ibn Majah, even though some ulama make some minor critique of this, but other ulama have checked all these ahadith and said it becomes acceptable. An authentic narration that you find similar to this, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ta'allama al-ilma mimma yubtagha bihi wajhullah. Whoever seeks knowledge, which is to be sought seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yata'allamuhu illa liyusiba bihi aradan min ad-dunya. But they seek this knowledge for the intent of some prestige of this world, some benefit of the world, maybe praise of the people, a position, a rank, a status, a title is given to this individual. لَمْ يَجِدْ عَرْفَ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَعْنِي رِيَحَا. This person won't even smell, gain the paradise, the fragrance of paradise. And we know that fragrance of paradise can be smelled from many, many miles away. This fragrance of paradise. Hadith in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood and Imam Tirmidhi. That whoever doesn't seek to rectify their intention, they're going to be far away from paradise. Beginning may be that they're trying to enter into paradise, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forbid, drifts this individual away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the benefits of seeking knowledge, whoever man salaka tariqan fil ilm aw kama qala, whoever follows iltamasa bihi ilman, whoever follows the path of knowledge, you find that even the hitan, even the fish inside the ocean make dua for that individual. Everything makes dua for that individual who's out in the way of seeking knowledge in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge has been described by many things inside prophetic traditions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Many parables are given. If you pick up any book on hadith, kitab al-ilm that you find many parables inside it of knowledge. And they find the famous hadith of knowledge being example of a land, a fertile soil, and rain comes down. And you find that vegetation and pasture, it begins to come out, crop out. So the land benefits, and likewise the people benefit. Another type of land that you find slightly not so soft, but water comes and some pasture comes out. Then further you find a barren land, an empty land, rain comes upon it, nothing grows. And this is the parable of knowledge. Beneficial knowledge, one that benefits the person, benefits the soil, and then begins to benefit other individuals. And a barren land, a barren knowledge, empty knowledge, is one that rain falls upon it, knowledge falls upon it, doesn't benefit the individual, doesn't benefit other individuals. Likewise, inside prophetic ahadith, depiction, imagery is given of knowledge. In the hadith of Abu Bakr, that we find that knowledge is like milk flowing out of his fingertips. That knowledge will be flowing, excessive knowledge will be given to him. Likewise, we find the pulling of the well of Abu Bakr and Umar. One interpretation is that the trials and tribulations that Umar will face. And the other meaning is that this pulling of the well out of the bucket out of the well is a sign of strength and knowledge. So the strength and the knowledge of Abu Bakr is superior than the knowledge of Umar and the rest of the companions. And that's the Prophet ﷺ, he praised Abu Bakr many times. Other ahadith which speak about the trailing of the garment inside Kitab al-Ilm of Imam Bukhari, if I'm not mistaken. Here the trailing of the garment isn't a evidence that we can keep our lower garment below the ankles, because the worlds of ru'ya, of dreams, of ahlam is different from ahkam on this dunya. You can't apply what you see in the dream unto the rulings on this world. Waqad fussira, it was explained that this flowing of the garment is a sign of knowledge, of al-ilm. Excessive knowledge will be given to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So this is the beneficial knowledge that we should be searching for inside our lives, trying to gain this knowledge. And thus we find we should study adab al-ilm, the etiquettes of seeking knowledge and gaining knowledge. Jami' al-bayan al-ilmi wa-amal, that we find wa-fadlihi. Jami' al-bayan al-ilmi wa-fadlihi ibn Abd al-Barr, al-Maliki, al-Andalusi, al-Qurtubi. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes certain ulama who died in the year 1034 of the Christian era that we find. Look at al-Andalus, a land which is far away from the Arab lands. Look how many ulama, al-ajilla, mufassirun, muhaddithin, fuqaha, who come out of the land of Andalus. Arabic is not their language, it's not their community. But when Islam entered, Imam Qurtubi, famous mufassir of the Quran that we find, Imam Shatibi, alim fil qira'ati, of inheritance, of law that we find, Kitab al-I'tisam, two volumes speaking about sunnah and innovation that we find. Numerous ulama, Ibn Hazm, al-Andalusi, so many different ulama who existed inside that blessed land. This is ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is a virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whomever He wants, to show the world that whoever follows the path of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand their chest, expand their mind. That people, whether Arab or غير Arab, would begin to look up to them, begin to look at their works. Al-Hind as well, that we find so many shuraf, al-Hadith, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood, that we find, Imam Tirmidhi, ulama. The Arabic is far away from them. But yet when they entered into Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to give them that understanding of understanding the Quran and the Sunnah. And that's what we should be praying for, understanding the Quran and Sunnah, to be close to those individuals that we find. Hillatu talib al-ilm. Beautifying the etiquettes of knowledge that we find. Iqtida al-ilmi wal-amal of Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi, who wrote numerous volumes and numerous works about the etiquettes of knowledge and seeking knowledge that we find. There needs to be an over-focus on sincerity al-ikhlas. If you read all these works, you find nothing but again and again the focus of a sincerity with or towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Dhar, he mentioned, says to his father, "Oh my father, I see that when you preach to people, people begin to weep. They begin to repent, they begin to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it when other people, they speak and they deliver maybe the same knowledge, people not, the impact is not there?" He said that he answered him, the woman who's bereaved, who's lost her child, who's lost her husband, lost her family member, the weeping that she does is different from the weeping of a woman who's been hired to weep. Because we have the culture that people would hire people to weep when a person would die. So that person's weeping, as they say, are crocodile tears. There's no impact. The lesson is one of ikhlas. The more sincere the individual is, the more that you find there's qabool al-nas. Min qaloobi shakhs. Min qalbi shakhs. There's more that, the more authenticity, more sincerity inside their heart, the more acceptance it is for the people to accept that message that they're delivering to people. And that's we find that focusing on controversial issues in order to achieve fame, which exists inside a society, beating the drums of the mistakes of the ulama, expanding them. Yes, people are human beings. Ulama are fallible as well. They make mistakes as well. But sometimes that people want to overstretch the marks, the mistakes of people, and make that a point in case, and only speak about that. Speaking about issues which are not one's expertise. We find that common inside a society as well. People speak about things, they don't have an expertise inside it. But kullu man habba wa dabba, any individual can speak about anything and deliver it to the masses around them, speaking ill about classical ulama. We find that speaking ill of ulama, some ulama mention that the flesh of the ulama is not just a normal flesh. We now find that backbiting a person is like eating the dead flesh of an individual. But their flesh is poisoned, meaning it's even more severe. That those people who passed away, they may have had mistakes, but you don't speak ill of them. You praise them where the praise is due, and you highlight this is a mistake that they may have made. As for to speak ill of them and use derogatory words, is not a sign of a person seeking knowledge. Overindulging in philosophical matters that we find, mantiq and logic that we find, or debates of the people around us, and their concept of understanding knowledge that we find can lead a person away from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Argumentative speech. How many of us that we have to become argumentative? We don't agree with somebody, we don't agree with something. There's many ara'ul fiqhiyah, there's many Islamic rulings that exist, junctions that exist inside the sharia, but we see it as one way. And we will carry on arguing and arguing and arguing just to make the point. Because sometimes in essence it's qillatul ilm, a lack of knowledge. We don't understand that for centuries there may have been a view accepted by many ulama who accepted a view, who took that view. And then we just want to dismantle it. And just say that and just be argumentative to whoever we meet, even this month of Ramadan, to leave doubtful speech and doubtful course that we find. Look at the prayer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Allah, seek refuge from knowledge that doesn't benefit. Wa min qalbin la takhsha', and a heart that doesn't fear Allah. If knowledge doesn't lead you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that knowledge is against you. Quran mentions, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. Those people who really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ulama, people have knowledge, or people treading the path of knowledge, people have a perception of knowledge, people trying to gain knowledge, it leads them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِن نَفْسٍ لَا تَشْبَعْ, and a soul which is never content. The greed is always there, whether it be the lustful greed, or the greed of the dunya that we find, or the greed of food and materialism that we find, is never content. وَمِن دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهَا, and from a dua which is not responded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. knowledge that doesn't benefit me in any manner is a supplication of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Our concept of knowledge and practice has led us, unfortunately, to arrogance. This is all that we can conclude. It's led us to arrogance. If we contemplate upon the advice of Luqman that we find, if we look at the 31st chapter of Quran, the whole Surah Luqman that we find, read the advice that Luqman gives to his son. Beginning with to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Oh my son, don't commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most gravest of sins. And then other advice that gives him to be good to one's parents, establish the salah, till what concerns us? وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ وَقْدُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ أَصْوَاتِي لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. In the end of that page that we find, the advice of Luqman to his son. First he says to him, highlights to him, وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. And sa'ab that we find, as ulama of log have described, is a disease that enters into the neck of the camel, of a beast. So it keeps its neck up. It's not able to move its neck down. It raises its neck. It's kinaya. Anil kibr. Wala tusa'ir khaddaka linnas. That when you speak to people, don't look up. Meaning don't look down upon people. Think that there's some privilege that's given to you. Don't become such an individual. Wala tamshi fil ardi maraha. Don't walk on the earth in a state of arrogance. You know, sometimes people of knowledge, they walk on the earth in a state of arrogance to show that we're knowledgeable people, to people to look at them. This is wrong. Ilm leads a person to tawadu, to humbleness, to humility, to kindness, to reflection. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah doesn't like any boastful individual. This is not a moment. Ilm isn't a moment of boasting to people or boasting inside society. Then Allah mentions, or the advice of Luqman, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ. Walk easily upon the earth. وَغْدُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Lower your voice when you speak. There's moments a person needs to raise their voice in danger, in the khutub, in the wa'ad, in the dars, or some work or whatever it may be. But in general, a Muslim isn't abusive, isn't loud, isn't shouting. وَغْدُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Lower your voice, humble your voice. Then look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions once again, parable of an animal. For what reason? To awaken us. Inna ankara al-aswati la sawtul hamir. The most evil of speeches, or the most evil of voices or sounds, is the sound of the donkey. The braying of the donkey. The sound of the donkey. This is, once again, Allah describes the person just shouting and screaming. So we go against all this advice. Many of us go against this advice. And as we mentioned, we have a problem inside our society. We have a problem inside our society. We shouldn't shy away from it. Because the Quran, as we began with, teaches a people to teach people belief and to teach them about their problems and to resolve their problems. If those of us who are following the Quran, we should be at Surah Al-A'raf at the moment. What does the Quran mention? Allah talks about all the prophets, about the prophets, that they were sent with a certain message. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهِ غَيْرُ. Ad was sent to his people. Hud was sent to the people of Ad. Thamud to the people. Salih to the people of Thamud. You read the prophets, these stories, and then it mentions about belief, and it mentions about their vices, their sins. What Lut alayhi salam, what his people were doing. What the people of Salih were doing. What the people of Shu'aib were doing. Why? For what reason? It doesn't just stop, as what many of us think, just speak about Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a large portion of belief. But it spills over to the vices inside society. How to tackle the vices. How to tackle the problems that we face. And we have a problem amongst our youth. We have a problem amongst the reverts and amongst us, and even practicing Muslims. There are many good individuals around us, don't get me wrong. But these are problems that we're facing inside our society of their perception of knowledge. See the blogs, see the channels, see the comments, see the articles. You find young boys who've just found their faith, discovered their faith, a few years of study, champion themselves as ulama. Champion themselves as people of well-versed knowledge. Yes, there could be some young individuals who excel ulama. We don't doubt that. That's happened in history. But remember, that's very rare. That's very rare that you find that minor subjects have excelled. When they did excel, you read about their life. Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, they excelled after their teachers. After the death of their teachers, they began to excel, that more knowledge was given to them. But at the same time, There was always limitations. As a young person believes that they study the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those few people that you defame and you look down upon, you find them trivial. Do you think they've stopped studying in their lives? Do you think they've stopped reading? Do you think they stopped studying inside their lives? The gap is still there. There's many years of gap. Just because you've become an expert in minor elements, it doesn't take away the bigger picture. Because Allah has given certain people a virtue of 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years of remaining in studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us don't even equate even to the dust of the ulama, the dust that comes out of their shoes. And we claim to have studied many years of our lives or many years, whatever it may be. It's nothing to equivalent to the dust that comes out from these ulama al-ajillah and the turath and the heritage that they leave behind. And likewise, we find that reverts. Many of them are good Muslims, good brothers, good sisters that we find. But we have a culture, the audacity to break, dismantle Islam, to dismantle years of heritage, to say that, just openly say, this is something which is unacceptable. This goes against the nusus of Quran and Sunnah. How much of the Quran and Sunnah do you understand? How much of the language of the Quran and Sunnah do you understand? How much of the Quran have you learned? Do you deeply understand to make blunt statements that these are people who don't understand or tarnish other individuals? A doctor, when you visit a doctor, if you don't agree with the doctor, when you walk out of the surgery, the title of a doctor, tabib, is still given to that individual. You don't agree with the doctor, you can't say now to the doctor, this person is not a doctor. He has no right to be a doctor. You can say, I don't agree with him. I don't agree with a certain vaccine. I don't agree with what he's prescribed. But as for his title and his heritage and his studies and his certification, it still entitles him to be called a doctor. Until the medical board dismantles him, that his doctor doesn't practice or he's not qualified to be a doctor anymore. But other than that, he remains a doctor. An alim, a scholar, remains a scholar. He may have flaws. He may have mistakes. He may have wrong views. He may have said something incorrect. But the title belongs to him. So some of us become derogatory, don't even want to use the title and use other words, other names towards a person, which all shows a lack of understanding. And personally, I believe, it's the sources and perception and understanding of knowledge. It's us to blame. We as teachers and practitioners are to blame for what we teach people, what we encourage people. We're teaching people that everything, everybody is wrong. Everybody else is wrong. That I am the only right identity. I'm the only right individual. I'm the only right person who understands Islam. Everybody else doesn't understand. And whatever their views are, they're not even mistaken. They're wrong. They're misguided. They're far away. They're lost. They're astray. They will never come back to the right path. We're to blame. Because maybe our own qillatul ilm, perception of knowledge, that we haven't really, as we began with, understood what hikmah is, what to teach the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to have the correct perception, understanding of knowledge, that it benefits us and benefits other individuals. If we go back to some of these works of the classical ulama who speak, or some of the contemporaries speak about ahmiyatul ilm, or thamaratul ilm, or the fruits of knowledge, or the path of adabul ilm that we find. Inside some of the works of Sifatul Safwa of Ibn al-Jawzi that we find, who's a great alim in terms of tazkiyah that we find, even has a famous tafsir that not many people read or study or look into, this tafsir by Ibn al-Jawzi, Sahib al-Talbis, Iblis, that we find has a famous tafsir as well that he wrote explaining the Quran. And has many works of spirituality that he writes, and he speaks about purification of the heart. And in there that he mentions, when a preacher doesn't apply his knowledge, his exhortation or his maw'idah just becomes like, once again, like water that comes upon a rock, just washes away. Just washes away for the individual, flow of the hearts, just like water flows off the surface of the rock. So a person who doesn't penetrate knowledge, it doesn't benefit them, it doesn't benefit other individuals. Thus we find the impact of knowledge that we find free from the traits that we mentioned in the hadith, of seeking it to argue with people, to show off in front of ulama, to argue with people who don't have knowledge, to be seen in a gathering, to seek it for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge leads to a person to good akhlaq, good character, good behavior. Many of the young individuals, this is what they always say, it doesn't make a difference what my etiquettes and my behavior is, as long as my belief is correct. As long as I have the right belief, it doesn't make a difference how I behave towards people. That's incorrect. Sahibul ilmi, sahibul khuluq. Person of knowledge, a person of character. And life isn't just character as well. Person says, I behave well, but I don't need to pay attention to knowledge. Look, both things. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Allah showed goodness to a person. And Allah, that person needs to show goodness to people around them. Like or define, a cheerful face. A good character, a good behavior towards the people around us. Person shouldn't be wretched. Person shouldn't be upset. Person shouldn't be looking down upon people. Person shouldn't find people trivial. I read through many of the ulama, the seerah that we find. Khatib al-Baghdadi speaking about ulama that we find. Iqtida al-ilmi wal-amal that we find. Even read the life of Ibn Hazm. Al-Zahiri al-Andalusi, as we mentioned, this great jurist. Read his journey of knowledge that we find. He walked into the masjid and a person said to him, pray two rak'ah. Why don't you pray two rak'ah? He came another time and he started praying two rak'ah of tahiyyatul masjid. Person said to him, why are you praying? It's waqtul manhi. It's forbidden time. It's not a time to pray now. So this confused him. He thought, what is this? One person tells me to pray, one person tells me not to pray. And this led him to the path of seeking knowledge. This led him to the path of seeking knowledge. Imam Malik, person came from Iraq, asked him some 36, 37 odd questions. What did Imam Malik say? لا أدري والله أعلم ما عندي علم ما أفهم لا أعرف ما عندي علم. The man said, أنت Imam al-Madina, Imam Darul Hijra. You're the Imam of Medina, Darul Hijra. You never left Medina in your life except to perform Hajj. The most closest to the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What should I say to the people? He said, go and tell the people that Imam Malik doesn't know. If you don't know, you don't know. And these are things that we've lost inside our lives, of looking at qudwa of these people. Amongst the contemporaries that we find, that one Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi was sitting there in a gathering. And they asked him a question about ma hukm al-taswir, about photography, etc. that we find. The answer here doesn't concern us, but look at the etiquettes. They asked him that question and he said that last night, the Mufti, Sheikh bin Baz, rahmatullah alayhi, قد أجاب على هذه السؤال, على هذا السؤال. He said, yesterday, as far as I'm aware, Sheikh bin Baz, he responded to this. But the chair was saying, no, we want to know what you say about this. Because people here today never attended yesterday. Do you think he began to enter into his own view and highlight? He said, go back. لَعَلَّهُ مُسَجِّلْ الْجَوَابِ. Go back, maybe he's recording, go and listen to the answer. Showing his etiquettes, that that was his sheikh, that was his teacher. Imam Sa'di was his teacher. It was only until Imam Sa'di passed away that they appointed him to become the Imam of Unayza, the Imam, the Khatib of the Masjid. When he passed away, his sheikh, Imam Sa'di, famous mufassir that you find, his tafsir that you find to this day. These are etiquettes that many of us have failed to understand and comprehend inside our lives. Greeting people of all categories, young, old, whoever it may be, whatever type of person they may be, a person mixes and greets these people. Expressing forbearance, al-hilm, tawadu, humility, kindness, goodness, hating, haughtiness, showing off, boastfulness. May Allah forbid, we can see this in our language, we can see this in our bodily structure, we can see that our etiquettes, it all displays that ilm has led us to be boastful, to be arrogant. Ilm should lead us to be, firstly, recognizing ma'rifatullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, at-taqarrub ila Allah, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this blessed month of Ramadan, give us al-ikhlas. Shower down upon us sincerity, the focus of ilm, the understanding of ilm, and to begin to apply that inside our lives in the state of solitude, in the state of lockdown, in privacy, that the impact of knowledge begins to enter into our hearts, into our body and our soul, and makes us come closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah bestows upon us to enter into society, then to go and help and benefit the society.